For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hour number three of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 6:30. Atlanta United pregame comes your way then with Garrett and Joe Patrick filling in for the vacationing Abe Gordon. So we will chat with those guys a little bit later in the program. Been having a great conversation today about the state and the future, more importantly, of the Hawks. Landry Fields came out, and we had our buddy Caleb Johnson on last hour, and he tried to provide some clarity and some retro perspective here on what actually happened during the press conference. But Landry Fields was asked a question about the roster and the state of the team, and then Allison Mastrangelo of WSB TV followed up with, well, does that plan include Trae Young? And instead of saying yes, next question, he decided to go on for about 15, 20 seconds about the state of the team and how they value Trae Young and they value DeJounte Murray, who they just traded. And, you know, it was a whole lot of word salad and a jumblation of stuff that didn't make any sense and also didn't provide any clarity about where Trae Young stands with the Hawks. So that led me to thinking, what if they trade him? What if they do? And what does that mean for the team? And this is the conclusion I came up with. It doesn't really matter if they trade him right now because the team's not very good anyway. And in the first hour of the show, I asked producer E, I said, if I gave you the over-under of 42.5 wins, what would you take? And he said under, and I agree. So if that's what you got with Trae Young, why not move him and get what you can? You don't have your draft pick this year. So some people are saying, well, don't tank because you're not getting your draft pick this year. But you're going to get draft picks back for the trade of Trae Young, and you got draft picks back for the trade of DeJounte Murray. So it's not like you're going to have nothing. It's not going to be a lottery pick, but it might not be a lottery pick anyway because look what happened this year. Did the Hawks deserve to get the number one pick? They did not, but they did anyway. So you never know what's going to happen. And if the team's not going to be that good, then how long is the leash for Trae Young before he wants a trade out of here anyway? So for those two reasons, I think it's I don't want to say a no-brainer because he's maybe the best player in franchise history outside of Dominique, but where are you right now as a team? What are the Atlanta Hawks? They're a maybe a play-in team? Maybe. Look at all the teams that got better in the offseason. Like, are you touching the Celtics or the Sixers or the Heat or the Giannis and Milwaukee, Philly? No. Nah. Sorry. But you're just not. So what does it matter anyway? Like, you're not getting to a point where you're competing for a championship. And isn't that the goal? So if you already know that you're not doing that, then what does it matter? So I'm taking your calls at 404-726-0929. Would you be okay with trading Trae Young and doing a full-on rebuild with the Hawks? Because, again, I don't really see where this team is going this year anyway, and that basically means that Trae Young, if this team doesn't turn it around, why would he want to stay here? He wouldn't. That's the, like, other than blind loyalty and comfort, why would he want to stay here? I don't believe that he would. So 404-726-0929, taking your calls on that. In the meantime, while you call in and he gets you set up, let's hear from DeJounte Murray. Because DeJounte Murray spoke to the assembled media and the Pelicans team website. And he said something that I want to get your reaction on as well, and I'll get E's reaction on it, because I think it was a real condemnation of the Hawks. If you listen closely to what we're about to play and then think about what the Hawks were and what that time was like for DeJounte in Atlanta, I don't think it bodes very well. This is what DJ had to say.
I value just playing the right way. And playing the right way is, you know, defense wins championships. Obviously, you got to score the basketball too. But just it's something for me, like when I know I'm playing defense, but also you got a group of guys playing defense, it's just something you can't teach. And the feeling of that, just knowing that we're competing on who's guarding the best guy, or you knowing that, you know, you got your teammates back, that's important. So, you know, I love defense, you know, but it's a team thing. You can have one guy playing defense or two and the rest not, and nothing happens. So, you know, I'm excited to come. Like I said, this group all competes. Everybody wants to defend. Everybody wants to share the ball. You know, I pay attention to everything.
Everybody wants to defend. Everybody wants to share the ball. I pay attention to everything. If you take that as anything other than a shot at the Atlanta Hawks, I don't know how. I know on Andy and Randy, they were talking about this quote, and Andy said that he felt like he was just talking in generalities about his preferences in basketball. I gotta disagree. I think that is a direct salvo fired at the situation where he just came from. You don't think DJ was frustrated? As a player who prided himself on defense before coming to Atlanta and then saw his own play slip in Atlanta, in my opinion, because of what was around him, not so much because of him. Like, what can you really be a one-man gang, like, on defense? You have to play. I know Gary Payton was for some time in Seattle, but the other players in Seattle actually gave a crap about defense. Maybe they weren't great at it, but Nate McMillan and those guys, like, I'm not calling them an all-world defensive team, but, like, DeJounte in and of himself, like, he was up against it here in Atlanta. He had nothing around him. Nothing.
Well, I hope that he talks to Zion about improving his defensive game, because that's not the first word that comes to mind if someone says, hey, can you, you know, analyze Zion Williamson as an NBA player? He ain't making no all-team.
But they have Herb Jones, who's a great defensive player. They have Trey Murphy, who is a willing defender. They got guys there that are willing to play, willing to bang. You can't say that about Atlanta, E. They just and it's not because they're lazy, and it's not because they're, you know, inept. It's because they just can't do it.
Right. Well, they couldn't do it up top because you got guys down low. Clint Capella. Say what you want to about Clint Capella. He does try to protect the rim to the best of his ability. Double O does play decent defense as a, you know, a defender on the block. Nah. The problem is you had the up top guys letting guys right past them, and then you got, well, guys, you got to help me up top too. I can't do it all by myself down low. So,
well, right, and that's part of the problem, and I think that's why he ended that soundbite exactly the way that he did. I notice everything. Okay, who are you talking about there, DJ? What are we talking about here? 404-726-0929. Frank's out in McDonough. Frank.
How you doing, man?
What's up, Frank?
Listen, whether people are ready for it or not, it is a rebuild. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You're trying to duplicate what they did in Oklahoma City, which to me I'm fine with. The only problem is I just don't trust the people in charge. I don't trust Landry Fields. I don't trust Kyle Korver. These guys, to me, are incapable of making the right decision. No, this isn't like the Braves. The Braves with all their injuries and everything are still above 500. And that was on Stathopoulos getting guys to the All-Star team who the Braves just picked up. Now, that's a true GM right there. I don't trust the Hawks GM. I mean, the strategy I'm okay with, but I just don't like the people in charge of it, because you're going to be like the 76ers still talking about trust the process 10 years later. I don't trust these guys. And as far as DeJounte Murray goes, I mean – he can say whatever he want to say. I mean, no, you played a lot of games without Trey, and you still had the same issue. So, and you weren't exactly successful in San Antonio. So until this guy is the reason why a team wins, I don't want to hear nothing from him. Now, let's not act like he's an all-star who is just surrounded by incapable people. He didn't show up either.
Well, Frank, I appreciate the phone call. That's half true. the team didn't do any better really record-wise when he was the lead dog, but he showed out. He was very good when he was you can't come on here and say that he wasn't good when he was the lead dog. He just was.
He said it.
Like,
that's what he said.
I know, but like, he's wrong. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He averaged a career high 22 points a game this year, and he had like 4 game winning shots. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, E, with the roster around him, especially minus Trey, what the hell was he supposed to do? Like, the roster's just not good. Like, and like, Onyeka Okongwu, like, nah, like he hasn't.
What do you mean, our X6 pick overall?
But he's not shown that yet. He's okay. He's a fine player. Is he an all-star level player? Is he a defensive player of the year candidate? He is not. Neither is Clint Capella, who's also lost about a step and a half. So that's the problem. At 404-726-0929. And also, the reason I was so excited for the potential of drafting Alex Sarr is something we talked about on Dukes and Bell a lot. The Hawks have never been able to get the guy for Trey that could stand 2 feet away from the basket and just put it home. Like, we still don't have that. Onyeka's not that guy. Clint's certainly not that guy. Clint fumbles bunnies more than any center I've ever seen. Like, it's alarming how he just can't do the simple play to flush it home sometimes. So give me Alex Sarr with his athleticism that we certainly saw last night and just say, hey, big guy, just go slam it home for me 10 times a game and you'll average 20 points as a rookie. And then we'll expand your game outside. But I wanted if they took Sarr, what I wanted them to do was make him a traditional five for his rookie year and have him do one thing. Put ball in back, like Joe Boo from Major League. See ball, hit ball. Catch ball, dump ball in basket.
But he's never done that in his whole career. If you wanted that, Donovan Clingan. He's never done
that. But he's athletic enough to do that. That's the point. He showcased it last night. That's a really athletic, for his size.
Right, but
athletic kid.
He's an athletic kid, but that's not what you said. You said I want him to play a traditional five role. Well, I've never done that. I'm a big five that can handle. I can shoot outside. You want me just to stand here and wait for the ball to get to me?
Yes, that's what I want. And you don't get to dictate those terms as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, that's why his agent said I don't want him to go to Atlanta.
Exactly, that's the problem. 404-726-0929. Steve is in the A. Steve.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, man. Landry Fields and Kyle Korver, they spent time in the leagues. Grant Hill, part owner. I mean, these are guys that played the game and knows the game, so I just don't understand why they would let Javonte go for nothing. Basically, we didn't get nothing back from him. And so now, yeah, we are in a rebuild now. So just call it, we're just calling it like we see it. But I just think the Hawks organization is just going backwards. Landry Fields, Richesay, hopefully he'll turn out to be something. But the moves that he made other than that haven't been good. I don't know where are we going from here.
Yeah, Steve, I appreciate the phone call. Your concerns are certainly valid, my friend, and that's what we've been talking about today on the phones at 404-726-0929. Listen, DeJounte Murray, that return, again, I said it before, I said it when it happened. I hated it, flat out hated it, because the two picks you got back, more than likely, the overwhelming likelihood for those picks is that they're at best mid-first-round picks. They're not lottery picks. They're not top 4. They're not top 8. They're not top 10. They're more likely going to be in the 13 to 17 range. Both of them. Because New Orleans is going to be better. And if you really think the Lakers are going to be comfortable with tanking or sucking when they have LeBron on his last legs, you're wrong. They're going to do everything they can to try to win this year. As long as AD and LeBron stay healthy, they're going to make the playoffs. If they don't, fine, then it works out in your favor. But to bank on that, along with Dyson Daniels, who averages 5 points a game, okay, he's a good defender, but you can't score. And Larry Nance Jr., who's, I hate to say it, he's kind of washed. He also averaged 6 points a game last year. So what are you doing? And then on top of that, you don't come out and say that Trae Young is the face of your franchise? I just, again, it's just, it's hair pulling out levels of frustration that I don't know where this thing is going to go. But on a positive note, Reese Shea looked really good last night, and so did Nikola Jurcic. So maybe this draft class is the one that turns things around. All right, 404-726-0929. Coming up next, Atlanta United. What's their identity? What's their direction? Are they going to bring in players to the level of Giakoumakis and Almada? Let's ask Jason Longshore next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Atlanta United may not be getting the results they want on the pitch, but they are certainly making headlines with some of their roster decisions. We're going to talk about that and the international game as well as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris Thomas with you for about another 2 hours here until Atlanta United pregame comes your way then with Garrett Chapman and Joe Patrick sitting in for the vacationing Abe Gordon. Let's welcome in our buddy Jason Longshore. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. Jason, how is lovely Montreal treating you this afternoon?
The weather is extremely lovely, like 75, 80 degrees all day. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, I'm very jealous because it's about 25 degrees warmer than that right now in the heart of Atlanta and very, very soupy.
I'll be getting it tomorrow. Don't you worry.
Yeah, very, very soupy as well. All right, before we get into United, a couple of international soccer stories I want to touch base with you on. First of all, explain to our audience who may have missed it, what the heck happened in Charlotte with a brawl that ended in some fans and players actually throwing some punches?
Yeah, it's complicated because, as anything with CONMEBOL and South American soccer, you're going to get probably four different stories, and then none of them are actually going to be completely factual. So I think we're all still trying to piece together what happened. It was after the Colombia-Uruguay Copa America semifinal in Charlotte. Game had a lot of friction to it anyway, and Colombia ends up winning. The Uruguayan family members, and I don't know how this was organized, how they were seated in the section, how that was chosen, how security should have been handled for them. I think it's obvious there wasn't enough security around them. And Colombian fans, after the win, taunting. I've seen some videos of Colombian fans like basically trying to start something with people. And stuff kicked off. Like, I don't know if family members were actually jumped, but if you're a player and you see your family members, and some of these were wives and small kids, and you see them in and near that area, you're going to react. And I do agree with Marcelo Bielsa in that I think the threats from CONMEBOL about suspending players and doing this and doing that are not exactly fair, because the players have to defend their family members. So until we know more, it's hard to say exactly what went down. I do somewhat understand the players' reaction. Did they maybe take it too far? Possibly, but we don't know what they actually saw. I have serious questions about how security was handled in the stadium. And is that a stadium thing? Is that a CONMEBOL thing? Is it somewhere in between? I don't know if we're actually going to get the answers, but it looked really bad. And luckily, I don't think anyone was seriously injured.
for more fallout of that tournament, obviously where the U.S. national team stands now. Jason, what's the latest on the search for a replacement for Greg Berhalter? I know a couple of high-profile guys said no thank you.
Yeah, Jesse Marsh saying no thank you, that's performance art from Jesse, because if you'd paid attention to what he had to say when he was a media member before he took the Canada job, it was very clear that he was not happy that he was not chosen to get the U.S. job when Greg Berhalter was rehired. And to the point that it almost seemed like he was using his position to undermine Berhalter a little bit. Now, the results ultimately are what undermined Berhalter. But that was an opportunity for Jesse Marsh to maybe stick the knife in a little bit into that whole situation. So push that one to the side. That one wasn't going to happen. Jurgen Klopp wasn't going to happen either. And I think some folks tried to create stories there where there wasn't one. This is a guy who had a dream job and became an absolute local legend in Liverpool with what he did in that town. And the job got to be too much for him. He needed a break. You know, the all-consuming nature of a club job, it wears you out. And Pep Guardiola talked about it. Jurgen Klopp talked about it when he decided to step down. He's not going to all of a sudden feel refreshed to take this job in a country he's never worked in, has no real tie to other than some Instagram posts about enjoying his visits. You know, like people tried to take that and say that it meant something when, no, it was just a nice post on July 4th. That's what it was. So now you have to get into the real situation. Who are you going to go after? Who makes sense? Who is realistic? And you need to get it done before the September window. You want to get somebody in place as soon as possible. Can you go with an interim in those games? Sure, you could. You don't want to. They need to make progress, and they need to get out in front of this, and I hope U.S. Soccer can do that sooner rather than later.
We're talking to our buddy Jason Longshore here, going all across the globe with some international soccer stories, and we're going to get to Atlanta United here in just a second. What do you feel like is the best move for the national team to make while they're looking for a coach? Is it a change in style? Is it a change in roster personnel for the next cycle? What do you think this team is going to do in order to try to maximize its ranking as whatever they are, 15 or 20 in the world, and try to live up to that?
Yeah, that's the thing about a national team, is you kind of are what you are. You know, like, you're not going to go out and recruit a large number of dual nationals that are not representing you currently. So can you change out some personnel? Sure. Is it going to make a dramatic difference? No, not really. I mean, it's not like there's some great player that would be world-class that is out there that's not in the team. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. You have one world-class player in Christian Pulisic. You have some other very, very good players, and your overall talent pool is deeper and wider than it's ever been. But at the top end, the guys who decide games, you've got one. And Pulisic, I think, has lived up to his end of everything. Others are not quite at that level. And I'm glad you mentioned it. Like, being 15, 20 in the world, whatever ranking system you want to look at, you know, they are what they are. Can they go into a tournament like the World Cup in 26 at home and punch above their weight? Absolutely. But that's what the conversation has to be. Not about, well, this is a team that should beat Uruguay 9 times out of 10. No, they shouldn't. No, they shouldn't. I mean, who was number 20 in the AP poll last year in college football? Like, NC State, maybe? I know they were around there. Would you expect NC State to go in and beat Alabama 9 times out of 10?
No.
No. It's not going to happen. But for some reason in soccer, we're thinking that the number 20 team or so, give or take, you know, on a good day, they could be 15. On a bad day, they could be 25. That they should beat somebody consistently. There are levels to this. So you have to understand that. And I think what U.S. soccer has to go do is get that coach who can go and take a lesser team and make them better in those moments. That's going to be some tactics. That's going to be some man management. Who is good at making an underdog run? That's what they need to be looking for. And I hope that's what the conversation will turn to eventually. Long term, we want to develop better players, so we're not 20. We're 10. We're 8. But you do that through the players you have. the coach is not going to make a dramatic difference over a long span of time. But in a tournament, yeah, you can go on a run. Get somebody who can do that.
Based off of what you just said, and also based on the fact that a lot of U.S. national team men and women's fans are bandwagon fans, meaning they hop on, hop off for big events, big tournaments, World Cup, etc. Does the success recently of the women's national team skew what the general public thinks the men's team should be?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think, honestly, what you're going to get into on the women's side is that the recent success skews what they think the current success should be on the women's side, because there the talent gap is gone in terms of the U.S. just having the most talent, no question. That's not true anymore. So it's a, you know, it's a roll of the dice between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the world. Spain, Netherlands, England, Germany, U.S., Canada is real close. Like, it's very close between all of them. On the men's side, I don't know if that necessarily affects it. I do think there is a little bit of a, I don't know if it's just unfair expectations to having a few more players in Europe than we're accustomed to. And, you know, I don't know if it's just maybe an unfair set of expectations that fans are putting on this team and these players. This is a good team. This is a team that should be dominant in CONCACAF. This is a team that is probably fifth or sixth in this hemisphere. Ecuador would be a very similar kind of team. Argentina, Colombia, Brazil, Uruguay, all ahead of the U.S. in this hemisphere. In Europe, there's quite a few teams that are ahead. That's not a horrible thing. We've got to work long-term to be better than that, but at times people don't understand what the real expectation is. I don't know if it's just an arrogance about the American way, or, you know, you get a couple more players playing at good clubs in Europe and that should dramatically change everything, down to the overall level of talent. And there are far, I mean, there's 15, 18, 20 teams that have more talent than the U.S. right now.
All right. When it comes to Atlanta United, let's take a collective deep breath. They've made a lot of moves over the last couple of weeks, played some really disappointing matches. In your opinion, where does this club stand overall right now?
Kind of the same thread of our conversation here about talent, right? When you lose Giakoumakis and Almada from this group, and now Wiley from this group, at least for the Olympics and possibly for good after that, those are three very talented players that you don't have anymore. So you've got to go replace them. And until the window opens, you can't do that. So that's number one. And then two, you got to get those replacements right. So this is not as talented of a team as it was at the beginning of the season. And the expectations change because of that. I think the first half in Real Salt Lake last Saturday was really impressive for what this group can be. I thought Rob Valentino did an amazing job with a very short week. Remember, they were in New England on the Wednesday, played, had a light training session on Friday, and had a very good game plan to go up against one of the best attacking teams in the league. And the first 45 was extremely good. You conceded first, got beat in a 1v1, and RSL opened you up. That's what they do. Responded, leveled the game. We're by far the better team in the first half. Second half was starting to tilt away from you, but where it changed was individual mistakes on set pieces, not from the run of play, not from the overall play. RSL is that good of a team. They can find a way to hurt you, and they did in this game. But that first 45, I think, gives you some glimpses that this group can be a good collective. They can't afford to make mistakes, though. And that's what happened against Indy on Tuesday in Open Cup. The margin is far thinner than it used to be because you don't have as much talent. You can get it done as a group, as a collective unit, but you've got to avoid the mistakes, got to avoid losing in 1v1s, got to avoid mistakes on set pieces, on dead ball situations. That's what it's going to take for this team to get results right now.
All right, finally, before we let you go, as we're wrapping up our conversation with Atlanta United analyst Jason Longshore, who will be on the call tonight with our buddy Mike Conti. Jason, and Mike always with the call, and Garrett and a special guest Joe Patrick filling in for Abe Gordon. We'll have the pregame starting at 6:30. What can we expect tonight? What is the strategy? What is the game plan?
Montreal's missing some players with Canada, with their national team. They're playing inexplicably a third-place game in the Copa America. I guess CONMEBOL needed another gate to make some more money on the tournament, because a third-place game in a tournament like this is crazy, and I'm sure that CF Montreal is not happy about it. So missing three guys, missing three starters. Yes, take advantage. That talent gap is not what it could have been. So take advantage. I think the teams are going to be in really similar shapes, so they're going to cancel each other out in some ways tactically. How do you make up the ground for that? And I think you've got to get Daniel Rios fed early. He's been very, very good for this team as of late. He's scoring goals. He's creating goals. Feed him. Force the ball to him. Get the ball wide. Put in crosses. Look for him. Get him going early on, because he's the kind of player that it's not just about him finding the back of the net. He can open the game up for others as well, as we've seen with the little back heels and flicks and getting assists. Feed him in the first half, especially early. Make Montreal kind of collapse on him a little bit. That can create some space for others.
All right, Jason, appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the nice weather up there before you come back home to the swamp. That is Atlanta, my friend.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, that is the great Jason Longshore. Give him a follow on socials at Longshoe for all your Atlanta United and international soccer coverage as well. All right, when we get back, Braves. Better than we thought, I think, at least. We're going to have five true and false questions as we dissect the first half of the season. And if you missed it, the Braves have another all-star. I'll tell you who that is next when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas with you for another 2 hours until 6:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Before we get to a producer six-pack with E, I do have a question for you, for him, and I'm going to put up a poll right now at C Thomas Radio where you can go vote. And if it's not on your list, then you can type in your own. Once again, go hit me up at C Thomas Radio, about to put a poll up. E, what was your favorite board game growing up?
Probably Monopoly. It still probably is.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of the standard answer there. And the reason I ask is because, as you know, we had our 92.9 The Game summer games this week, the inaugural edition.
One of the events, yeah.
Caleb and Joe were part of the victory team for Team Dukes. And it was a great time. Got to go out and be deputy commissioner one of the days. And it was a lot of fun. And something I hope we continue into next year and are able to expand and get a lot of listeners involved and all that good stuff. But one of the days, the events were oversized board games. And I got to witness this firsthand, a game of Connect Four that took about 45 minutes to play.
Now, do you consider Connect Four a board game? Because that would possibly, maybe, that would be my number two. That probably would definitely be my number two.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's a board game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there are you can cast a wide net for the definition of a board game.
Got you.
Because I think, like, for instance, I just put up a poll at C Thomas Radio. The four I gave you to choose from were Monopoly, mm-hmm. Clue,
okay.
Scrabble,
mm-hmm.
Battleship. I think that's a good representation of some of the most popular video or board games.
Wow.
But if you have another one, again, you can just hit the comment section and let me know what your favorite board game was. Mine growing up was Clue. I used to play endless amounts of Clue with my aunt Holly back home in New Jersey when I was a wee lad.
It was the maid.
Yeah, it was
in the den.
It was Colonel Mustard
with the candlestick.
Right. Exactly. So that was my favorite game growing up. So I want to know, and you can let us know as well at 404-726-0929, or again, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. What was your favorite board game growing up? Because playing these oversized board games, it was Day-Day and it was Bo Johnson versus Caleb and Joe. And these guys were strategizing. It took 5 minutes for each team to make a move, because they were looking at the whole board and it was a giant board. There are pictures up on 92.9 The Game. And there was a lot of pieces that could have been moved. So they were strategizing the entire board before they would make a move. And it was literally, if you put a clock on it, 4 to 5 minutes. It was one of the most insane.
You would think they were competing for $1 million.
Well, they were competing for bragging rights.
Bragging rights are, can't put a measurement on them, can you?
Exactly. All right, with that said, let's get some true and false questions in.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, our Braves are out in San Diego and looking to finish out this first half on some winning notes. Currently 11 games above 500, still sitting in second place in the National League East. So on the first question of true and false, Marcell Ozuna, if you look at the Brave stats, Ozuna number one in hits, Ozuna number one in RBI, Ozuna number one in home runs, Ozuna number one in all base percentage. So this is going to be a layup. True or false, Marcell Ozuna is the Braves MVP of the first half of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Well, you know what?
You could argue, not as big as a layup as I thought, huh?
You could argue two other guys.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Okay.
And Reynaldo Lopez.
All right. So true or false? Marcell Ozuna is the first half MVP.
True. Just because Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale cancel each other out. Yeah, where would they be without? I mean, would they be even remotely competitive without him? I don't know. He had two more home runs yesterday. Yeah, I think you have to go true because if you didn't have Lopez or Sale, you would still have the other one. If you didn't have Marcell Ozuna, who's been the Braves' next best offensive player?
You want to hear what's crazy about this? It's going to be right. Or I go. We go right to number two question here: or Braves true or false?
All right.
So true or false? Matt Olson, who's currently sitting at 13 home runs, a little off pace from the 54 he hit in 2023. So let's say true or false, Matt Olson can get back to and maybe to the number. His average before he got to the Braves last year was 34. True or false, he needs 20 in the second half to get to 34. True or false, Matt Olson gets back to his normal pace.
Well, why would I think that he will? You know, he's had a couple of spurts now where he's gotten hot for like a minute and then cooled
like three,
back,
four games.
And then cooled right back off.
Crazy.
So much like Austin Riley, much like Murph, much like Ozzy, it's been inconsistent. That has been the theme of the Atlanta Braves offense in 2024, up and down the lineup. So unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to lean towards false on that one because why would I think that he would? Maybe Michael Harris gets back and sparks the lineup. Maybe. Ooh. Maybe they make a move and bring in a guy in the outfield that helps spark the lineup. Although Duvall's been picking it up lately. Kelnick's been good, as much as I like to joke.
He's got 10 homers.
Yeah.
Now he's your leadoff guy.
Yeah, I mean,
Where's the power?
It's not. But the ironic thing is too, Harris and Acuña weren't doing anything either.
No, they weren't.
So it's not like you're missing them in terms of the production that they were giving you. Literally, you're missing it in theory because of who they are, but not because of what they were doing this year. So I'm gonna have to go false on that one. I don't think he gets there. I think he finishes around 28.
That's still, I'd take that because that means he hits 15 in the second half. That's more than I'd take 28 and say, you know what, this was just a down year. Let's see if he can get to 35, 40 in 2025.
And it's also not half. I'm putting up
air quotes. Oh, you're right.
They've played 93 games.
Yeah. So we're a half plus. Absolutely. All right. Next question here on Braves true or false on this week. All right. True or false? Ian Anderson, who has been pitching pretty well down in his assignments. Ian Anderson should come back and be the fifth starter in this Braves rotation.
How much do you believe in what Schwellenbach's done lately?
Not much.
He's been pretty good.
He's the pitching version of Matt Olson. He'll give you two good outings. Then he'll give you, now I see why he's been back and forth between up and down in the majors.
But he's trending in the right way right now. Right now. He's trending, and he's at a couple of like seven innings, one run, no run starts over his last handful.
Okay.
So if he keeps that up, I don't think you see Ian Anderson. Well, that's not true. You know what? But you said to be the fifth starter, yes, right? That was the question, yes, not just to see him.
That's correct.
He will not be the fifth starter. No. So false. But
he's a long reliever.
He will no. He'll start. Mm-hmm. But he's not there's not gonna be one unless Smith-Shawver comes back, he's back now, and they start him, and he gives you five great starts in a row. Maybe he gets the ball every fifth day. I think they're going to keep rotating. I think it's going to be
revolving door.
It's going to be Schwellenbach gets a start. It's going to be Ian Anderson gets a start. It's going to be Smith-Shawver gets a start, and they're just going to keep riding that pony all the way through. I hate it.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's been a detriment to the team overall. But I don't think that they're going to change because I think they need this in their head, right? They feel like they need this six-man rotation thing in order to keep Sale and Lopez going. So, therefore.
And Charlie. He's been the one guy who is really, you know, those other two weren't here in the past two postseasons, but Charlie Martin has been really the one who fell off the most when we got into late September and October.
He's having a bad year. I mean, there's really no way around it. I'm not even really like factoring him in at this point. He's going to go every fifth day, but if you get five innings and four runs, you'll take that as a win, which isn't great.
Yeah.
Not good.
All right. We got two more to go on this week's edition of Braves True or False. You know, it's funny. With all that stuff we just said about our rotation or the back end of the rotation, what we got up top, minus Spencer Strider, has been unbelievable.
Amazing.
I'm looking at these rankings here. True or false, the Braves have a top three overall rotation in Major League Baseball.
It's tough, man. Because it's the contrast between how good the top three are and the bad the bottom two have been. I don't know. Like, the Dodgers, Yankees have a pretty good starting rotation. Orioles have a pretty good starting rotation.
All right. Well, give me your answer, and I'll tell you the site I'm looking at and where they have the Braves ranked.
You said top
three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
The way you're leading me, I guess I'm going to go true.
Oh, but you're not going with your heart.
But you're leading the witness, so I got to go. I got to go true. All
right, objection, leading the witness.
Yeah. Give me the rankings.
This is at yardbarker.com, one of my favorite sites to go to for insider MLB type stuff. Yes, they currently have the Braves number three behind the Seattle Mariners and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
And I like what they're saying. Yes, I agree with everything that Yard Bark has to say. Even with the loss of Strider, I'll give you a little synopsis. Atlanta lost Spencer Strider after two starts, but Chris Sale has filled the void. Renato Lopez and Charlie Martin have been effective. The fifth starter has been a sore spot as the team plays musical chairs. But overall, Max Fried, Lopez, and Chris Sale have given the Braves a steady top three
now,
in the rotation.
I'm interested in hearing the one for the Mariners. We know about the Phillies. We don't need to go through that. Nola, Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, etc. The Mariners have Luis Castillo.
Correct.
Who we know is great. Mm-hmm. George Kirby. Who am I missing? Like, who else do they
Logan
have?
Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller.
Those guys are not. They must be young.
Logan Gilbert has been the most effective with his 3.06 ERA.
Okay.
And Bryce Miller has also pitched like near. Both Luis Castillo and Bryce Miller have also pitched like near aces.
Okay. I got to look up Bryce. I don't know who Bryce Miller is. He must be a young guy. All right, interesting. Okay, what do we got? One more.
Last one. And this one should be pretty predictable as we head to the All-Star break, not the half point. 8.5 is the current deficit behind the Phillies. We have seven matchups with them in the post-All-Star part of the schedule. True or false, the NL East is still a winnable division.
Oh, true. I mean, the Phillies have – now, don't get me wrong now. The Phillies have had a couple of bumps here.
They lost last night to a bad Oakland team.
So, you know, they're not infallible. You can get them. The question is, do you trust the Braves to do it? More importantly, do you trust the Braves' offense to do it? Because that was the bugaboo the last couple of years in the playoffs. The the Phillies shut down the Braves' offense, even in that historic year. I don't know. But I'll finish this on a positive note. The Braves absolutely can still win the division, as Brian Snicker came out and said a couple of weeks ago. We're trying to win the NL East. Love you, Snit. All right, great job on the five Braves, true and false. E, don't go anywhere because I'm going to need you for the next segment too. One very, very respectable national NFL reporter said something about the Atlanta Falcons. I want you to hear what he had to say, and then E and I are going to react to this. And it's about our young core. You don't want to miss this. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get to a producer six-pack with E, I do have a question for you, for him, and I'm going to put up a poll right now at C Thomas Radio where you can go vote. And if it's not on your list, then you can type in your own. Once again, go hit me up at C Thomas Radio, about to put a poll up. E, what was your favorite board game growing up?
Probably Monopoly. It still probably is.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of the standard answer there. And the reason I ask is because, as you know, we had our 92.9 The Game summer games this week, and the inaugural edition. Caleb and Joe were part of the victory team for Team Dukes. And it was a great time. Got to go out and be deputy commissioner one of the days, and it was a lot of fun. And something I hope we continue into next year and are able to expand and get a lot of listeners involved and all that good stuff. But one of the days, the events were oversized board games. And I got to witness this firsthand, a game of Connect Four that took about 45 minutes to play.
Now, do you consider Connect Four a board game? Because that would possibly, maybe, that would be my number two. That probably would definitely be our number two.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's a board game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there are you can cast a wide net for the definition of a board game.
Got you.
Because I think, like, for instance, I just put up a poll at C. Thomas Radio. The four I gave you to choose from were Monopoly, mm-hmm. Clue,
okay.
Scrabble,
mm-hmm.
Battleship. I think that's a good representation of some of the most popular video or board games.
Wow.
But if you have another one, again, you can just hit the comment section and let me know what your favorite board game was. Mine growing up was Clue. I used to play endless amounts of Clue with my aunt Holly back home in New Jersey when I was a wee lad.
It was the maid.
Yeah, it was
in the den.
It was Colonel Mustard
with the candlestick.
Right. Exactly. So that was my favorite game growing up. So I want to know, and you can let us know as well at 404-726-0929, or again, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. What was your favorite board game growing up? Because playing these oversized board games, it was Day-Day and it was Bo Johnson versus Caleb and Joe. And these guys were strategizing. It took 5 minutes for each team to make a move. Because they were looking at the whole board, and it was a giant board. There are pictures up on 92.9 The Game. And there was a lot of pieces that could have been moved. So they were strategizing the entire board before they would make a move. And it was literally, if you put a clock on it, 4 to 5 minutes. It was one of the most insane.
You would think they were competing for $1 million.
Well, they were competing for bragging rights.
Bragging rights are, can't put a measurement on them, can you?
Exactly. All right, with that said, let's get some true and false questions in.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, our Braves are out in San Diego and looking to finish out this first half on some winning notes. Currently 11 games above 500, still sitting in second place in the National League East. So on the first question of true and false, Marcell Ozuna, if you look at the Braves stats, Ozuna number one in hits, Ozuna number one in RBI, Ozuna number one in home runs, Ozuna number one in all base percentage. So this is going to be a layup. True or false, Marcell Ozuna is the Braves MVP of the first half of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Well, you know what?
You could argue, not as big as a layup as I thought, huh?
You could argue two other guys.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Okay.
And Reynaldo Lopez.
All right. So true or false? Marcell Ozuna, It's the first half MVP.
True. Just because Reynaldo Lopez and Chrisell cancel each other out. Yeah, where would they be without? I mean, would they be even remotely competitive without him? I don't know. He had two more home runs yesterday. Yeah, I think you have to go true. Because if you didn't have Lopez or Sale, you would still have the other one. If you didn't have Marcelo Ozuna, who's been the Braves' next best offensive player?
You want to hear what's crazy about this? It's going to be right. Or I go. We go right to number two question here: or Braves true or false?
All right.
So true or false? Matt Olson, who's currently sitting at 13 home runs, a little off pace from the 54 he hit in 2023. So let's say true or false: Matt Olson can get back to and maybe to the number his average before he got to the Braves last year was 34. True or false? He needs 20 in the second half to get to 34. True or false, Matt Olson gets back to his normal pace.
Well, why would I think that he will? You know? He's had a couple of spurts now where he's gotten hot for like a minute and then cooled
like three,
back,
four games.
And then cooled right back off.
Crazy.
So much like Austin Riley, much like Murph, much like Ozzy, it's been inconsistent. That has been the theme of the Atlanta Braves offense in 2024, up and down the lineup. So, unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to lean towards false on that one. Because why would I think that he would? Maybe Michael Harris gets back and sparks the lineup. Maybe. Ooh. Maybe they make a move and bring in a guy in the outfield that helps spark the lineup. Although Duvall's been picking it up lately. Kelnick's been good, as much as I like to joke.
He's got 10 homers.
Yeah.
Now he's your leadoff guy.
Yeah, I mean.
Where's the power?
It's not. But the ironic thing is, too, Harris and Acuna weren't doing anything either.
No, they weren't.
So it's not like you're missing them in terms of the production that they were giving you literally. You're missing it in theory because of who they are, but not because of what they were doing this year. So I'm going to have to go false on that one. I don't think he gets there. I think he finishes around 28.
That's still, I'd take that because that means he hits 15 in the second half. That's more than I'd take 28 and say, you know what, this was just a down year. Let's see if he can get to 35, 40 in 2025.
And it's also not half. I'm putting up
you're right. Quotes. You're right.
They've played 93 games.
Yeah, so we're a half plus. Absolutely. All right, next question here on Braves, true or false on this week. All right, true or false, Ian Anderson, who has been pitching pretty well down in his assignments. Ian Anderson should come back and be the fifth starter in this Braves rotation.
How much do you believe in what Schwellenbach's done lately?
Not much.
He's been pretty good.
He's the pitching version of Matt Olson. He'll give you two good outings. Then he'll give you, now I see why he's been back and forth between up and down in the majors.
But he's trending in the right way right now. Right now. He's trending in the, he's had a couple of like seven innings, one run, no run starts over his last handful.
Okay.
So if he keeps that up, I don't think you see Ian Anderson. Well, that's not true. You know what? But you said to be the fifth starter, right? That was the question, not just to see him.
That's correct.
He will not be the fifth starter. No. So false. But
he's a long reliever.
He will no. He'll start. Mm-hmm. But he's not – there's not going to be one – unless Smith-Shawver comes back, he's back now, and they start him, and he gives you five great starts in a row, maybe he gets the ball every fifth day, I think they're going to keep rotating. I think it's going to be
– revolving door.
It's going to be Schwellenbach gets a start. It's going to be Ian Anderson gets a start. It's going to be Smith-Shawver gets a start, and they're just going to keep riding that pony all the way through. I hate it.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's been a detriment to the team overall, but I don't think that they're going to change because I think they need this in their head, right? They feel like they need this six-man rotation thing in order to keep Sale and Lopez going. So, therefore.
And Charlie, because he's been the one guy who has really, you know, those other two weren't here in the past two postseasons, but Charlie Martin has been really the one who fell off the most when we got into late September and October.
He's having a bad year. I mean, there's really no way around it. I'm not even really, like, factoring him in at this point. He's going to go every fifth day, but If you get five innings and four runs, you'll take that as a win, which isn't great.
Yeah.
Not good.
All right. We got two more to go on this week's edition of Braves True or False. You know, it's funny. With all that stuff we just said about our rotation or the back end of the rotation, what we got up top, minus Spencer Strider, has been unbelievable.
Amazing.
I'm looking at these rankings here. True or false, the Braves have a top three overall rotation in Major League Baseball.
It's tough, man. Because it's the contrast between how good the top three are and the bad the bottom two have been. I don't know. Like, the Dodgers, Yankees have a pretty good starting rotation. Orioles have a pretty good starting rotation.
All right. Well, give me your answer, and I'll tell you the site I'm looking at and where they have the Braves ranked.
You said top
three.
Three? Mm-hmm. The way you're leading me, I guess I'm going to go true.
Oh, but you're not going with your heart. But
you're leading the witness, so I got to go. I got to go true.
All right, objection, leading the witness.
Yeah. Give me the rankings.
This is at yardbarker.com, one of my favorite sites to go to for insider MLB type stuff. Yes, they currently have the Braves number three behind the Seattle Mariners and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
And I like what they're saying. Yes, I agree with everything that Yard Barker has to say. Even with the loss of Strider, I'll give you a little synopsis. Atlanta lost Spencer Strider after two starts, but Chris Sale has filled the void. Renato Lopez and Charlie Martin have been effective. The fifth starter has been a sore spot as the team plays musical chairs. But overall, Max Fried, Lopez, and Chris Sale have given the Braves a steady top three
now,
in rotation.
I'm interested in hearing the one for the Mariners. We know about the Phillies. We don't need to go through that. Nola, Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, etc. The Mariners have Luis Castillo.
Correct.
Who we know is great. Mm-hmm. George Kirby. Who am I missing? Like, who else do they
Logan
have?
Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller.
Those guys are not. They must be young.
Logan Gilbert has been the most effective with his 3.06 ERA.
Okay.
And Bryce Miller has also pitched like near. Both Luis Castillo and Bryce Miller have also pitched like near aces.
Okay. I got to look up Bryce. I don't know who Bryce Miller is. He must be a young guy. All right. Interesting. Okay. What do we got? One more?
One more. All last right. one. And this one should be pretty predictable as we head to the All-Star break, not the half point. 8.5 is the current deficit behind the Phillies. We have seven matchups with them in the post-All-Star part of the schedule. True or false, the NL East is still a winnable division.
Oh, true. I mean, the Phillies have – now, don't get me wrong now. The Phillies have had a couple of bumps here.
They lost last night to a bad Oakland team.
So, you know, they're not infallible. You can get them. The question is, do you trust the Braves to do it? More importantly, do you trust the Braves' offense to do it? Because that was the bugaboo the last couple of years in the playoffs. The Phillies shut down the Braves' offense, even in that historic year. I don't know. But I'll finish this on a positive note. The Braves absolutely can still win the division, as Brian Snicker came out and said a couple of weeks ago. We're trying to win the NL East. Love you, Snit. All right, great job on the five Braves, true and false. E, don't go anywhere because I'm going to need you for the next segment, too. One very, very respectable national NFL reporter said something about the Atlanta Falcons. I want you to hear what he had to say, and then E and I are going to react to this. And it's about our young core. You don't want to miss this. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.